coming?
She's on it, okay.
Oh, there's handouts. Did anybody not get a handout?
Can everybody see that? Okay, good evening. Oh, you're asleep. What happened? Good evening.
Good evening.
That's much better. That tells me you're still awake. Oh, that's good. We can start on a positive note that we're all awake and waiting to hear from the Lord what he has to tell us tonight to the speaker and to the listeners alike. So don't think you're the only ones who are listening. I am listening too. Our verse comes from Ephesians, as you know. I like always to base my knowledge and statements based on what does the scripture say, not what I think or what I've experienced or what do others say or what do commentaries say. I am wanting to explore the scripture to see what does the scripture say. And the passage that we've chosen today is here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 21. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. So, what do we want to do today in this conference is look at being strengthened in the inner man or woman, because it's generic really, and what does it mean? And what does the power of God's Spirit mean? As you know, I'm a pathologist, so I like to dissect things. So I'm going to dissect every phrase and every verse to find out the practicality of the teaching of this portion of Scripture. So in our first session, before we do anything, we have to have the biblical definitions. So if you have ideas about what God the Holy Spirit is or what you think, let those be put aside. Let's look at what God the Holy Spirit is going to reveal through his word, through God's word, to us, the biblical definitions. Who is God the Holy Spirit? And what does strength in the inner man mean? And God knows we all need strength because we cannot do without it. In our second session tomorrow, we're going to talk about what is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit? What is the mission of God the Holy Spirit? And in our third session, we're going to understand what does the scripture mean when it talks to us about walking in the Spirit. And our fourth session will be looking at fruit of the Spirit. Not books, not other ideas, but just the scripture. How can we understand and learn what these phrases mean and what this portion of scripture is trying to teach us today? So, we have a lot of questions. we're going to ask, who is God the Holy Spirit? How and when do I get God the Holy Spirit? What is my personal responsibility to God the Holy Spirit? What does the inner man in me really mean? Why is it important to understand God's Holy Spirit? Is knowledge application in my personal life essential, or is it optional? Because these days, most people are talking about, well, you may want to do this, or you may want to do that. But we're talking here about questions that are going to be explored from the Word of God. And we'll find that these are essentials, not maybe yes and maybe no. Why is there confusion, division on the role of the Holy Spirit in believers today? There are sects of Christianity that confuse God the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that. We have to address all these things to understand. And are there any external visible markers that I look for in my own personal life to see whether I am walking in the Spirit or not? And this is really the sum of what we're going to do. But we're going to do it by looking at what saith the Scriptures. What does my Bible say? Your Bible too, I hope. So what does the Word of God say? Because it was all breathed, as according to 2 Timothy 3:16, what does it say? All Scripture was given by inspiration of God. So I love reading books, I swallow books, I write books. But the most important information and doctrine I get is from God's breathed origin, which is the Word of God, the Bible. So, who is God and the Holy Spirit, and what does strengthen the inner man mean? Well, if we look here into the Scripture and we review parts of the biblical revelation, we will see that there are the doctrine of God the Holy Spirit. It's the key enabler to do things for the Lord. And because the Lord puts God the Holy Spirit in our lives as soon as we believe. Now, I want to stop here for a minute. You know me, I'm an evangelist at heart. Now, I know most of you, I think, but there are people I don't know. So I want to check in first. Have you got God the Holy Spirit in your heart and life? And the only way to do so is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of works. It's lest any man should boast. That's what my Bible says. It's not something that I'm going to grasp onto or think I may have or don't think I am sure I have God the Holy Spirit because I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ at a young age. And since then, God has put his stamp of approval on me, not only to go to eternity with him, but to be indwelt by part of him. So part of God is in you if you are a true believer. Now, all of you look lovely and beautiful and very nice faces, but I don't see your heart. So I don't know what's in your heart, but God does. And he knows whether he's put his stamp of approval on you. And if you've never had this experience of coming to him as a sinner and asking him to forgive you of your sins, repent and turn around and say, Lord, I'm going to start seeing things your way, not my way, and I'm surrendering my life to you. That's when you get the stamp of approval and you get the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. We're obsessed with ourselves as humans. The seen, the tangible things, the physical, we prefer generally to ignore the unseen, the intangible and the spiritual. But what does John 4:24 tell us? God is a spirit, And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He told the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Remember that story? That's what my Bible says. You see, God created us with a body and a soul and a spirit. To communicate properly with God, we cannot do it through the physical, seeing things, but it's the spirit inside us that communicates with God the Father. You see, the biblical doctrine of God the Holy Spirit is given considerable space in our Bibles. Just check from Genesis chapter 1. What does it say? And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So we're included in there. God is plural, and God the Holy Spirit is part of the divine Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were there since Genesis chapter 1. And the earth was without form, Genesis 1 verse 2. And without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we see from the early chapters of our Bible that God speaks of himself as the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Never talk about God the Holy Spirit as it. Many people talk about the Spirit as it. No, it's a he, because he's part of the triune God. There is God, one God, but there are three in one: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yes, he was involved in creation. We see that in not only Genesis 1, 2, but Job 26, 13, 33, 4, and Psalm 104, verse 30. In revelation and instruction, in Numbers 24, 2, 2 Samuel 23, 2, Nehemiah 9, 20, Ezekiel 2, 2. And I've written to you and given you in the handout the most important scriptures so that you can look them up and read them afterwards. And he is the one who enables people to serve the Lord and individuals to serve. Right in the Old Testament, in Exodus 31:3 and Zechariah 4:6. So we see that in the Old Testament, he is mentioned over 100 times. God, the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, we see the more of the doctrine of God the Holy Spirit. It becomes clearer for us. Jesus read from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus himself talked about God the Holy Spirit. What did he tell Nicodemus? You have to be born of water and the Spirit. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And in John 7:39, he says, but this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that the Lord Jesus was not yet glorified. At the Feast of Tabernacles, he spoke concerning the Spirit, our Lord did. Matthew 10, 19:20, the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Matthew 12:28, cast out demons by the Spirit of God. Blasphemy against the Spirit, receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you in Acts 1:8. And I will pray the Father, the very, very familiar verse, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. We want to see things. Seeing is believing. Somebody said, no, no, no. God the Holy Spirit works in your life and mine, but we have to be in tune with him. That's where my responsibility comes. That's where I have to find out when the soft voice is speaking to me, telling me, okay, don't go right, go left. You're doing this the wrong way. He's going to speak to you through your conscience. But sometimes we dull the conscience. Sometimes we don't listen to him. We'd rather do things my way, not God's way. The Lord made it clearer that the Holy Spirit is a person, a divine person with divine attributes and has a ministry in our lives. He will teach. He will testify. He will convict. He will guide. He will glorify. John 14, 15, 16, and so on and so forth. He convicts, my Bible says. He intercedes. He testifies. He commands, he guides. Yes, he's a divine person, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1, 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, he has divine attributes. He's holy, God the Holy Spirit. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He is present everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's capable of doing everything. He's omnipotent. And he's sovereign. He's going to give gifts to each believer in different ways. In his sovereignty, he'll find out if you're going to be faithful. He definitely will give you, and we're going to talk about that later, about giving of gifts and what does that mean and what is my responsibility. And you see, he has a special ministry in our lives. In relation to our salvation that we talked about a minute ago, he will convict. John 16, 8, 1 Peter 1, 2, John 3, 5, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. I don't get tired of giving you references. Because that's not my word, it's God's word. In relation to our experience, he will be in you, but it's only the believers. That's why I challenged you earlier and I said, are you a believer, a true believer, a committed Christian? Not by mouth, but by heart and commitment. In the relationship to our sanctification, to set us apart and transform our lives, change our lives. Who does that? It's God the Holy Spirit that does that inside us. He will guide you. John 16, 13, 2 Corinthians 3, 18, Romans 8, 14, Galatians 5, 25. And in relationship to the Lord, he will glorify me, the Lord Jesus said. God, the Holy Spirit, does not glorify himself. He glorifies the Lord Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? The Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will even show you the future. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That is what the New Testament clarifies for us about God the Holy Spirit. You see, it's very important that you realize and understand God the Holy Spirit if you are really going to follow in the way God intended you to be. And that is when you're going to be strengthened in the inner man. We want to do shortcuts. We want to go through, you know, quick burgers and fries and whatever. No, 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 no. This takes digging deep in the Word of God to understand what God the Holy Spirit wants for your life and for mine, and how He wants to strengthen us, how He wants to transform us. What is the ultimate goal? What are we predestinated for? To be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. Who's going to do this transforming power? It's God the Holy Spirit in you. When you get saved and things change in your life, your taste changes, your vision changes, your likes and dislikes change, who does that? It's God the Holy Spirit in you that is changing you, transforming you, making you different, making you more like the Lord Jesus Himself. Some people have asked, so what is the difference between Christ in heaven and the Holy Spirit on earth? Very good question. So Christ in heaven links us to God because He's our advocate. He stands there for us. But the Holy Spirit on earth unites us to Christ. Christ in heaven represents us to God as our advocate, and the Holy Spirit represents Christ to us. Christ in heaven presents our prayers to God. The Holy Spirit on earth inspires our prayers to God. Christ in heaven is our way to God. The Holy Spirit on earth leads us along the way of life. That's the difference. Christ in heaven reveals God the Father. The Holy Spirit reveals God the Son and Christ as Lord. Christ in heaven personifies the truth of God. The Holy Spirit points to Christ as the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Christ in heaven has completed the work of salvation, but God the Holy Spirit instills trust in the work of Christ in our hearts, strengthens our faith. Christ in heaven has laid the foundation of the church, but God the Holy Spirit is building upon this foundation of Christ. And Christ in heaven is preparing a place for us. That's what He said to His disciples. But the Holy Spirit is preparing us for that place. So you see, the ministry is very complementary, but there is difference between God the Holy Spirit and God the Son. Wonderful to know and to trust in knowing that. So you ask yourself, well, yes, I've now known that from the scripture that God, the Holy Spirit, is a divine person. And it's important to each one of us to understand that before we understand how He can strengthen us and how He can guide us and how can we walk in the Spirit as my Bible teaches us to do. But you see, it's all based on one thing. My increase in scriptural knowledge and spiritual knowledge and devotion to God depends on the understanding of the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. He's the enabler. He's the one who's going to clarify things for you. He's your built-in commander that is going to guide you in all things and teach you all things and clarifies all things for you. So you need to understand him and his work in your life before you can really walk in the light and in truth as the scripture exhorts us to do. But there are some practical considerations, and I don't want anyone to leave without knowing, how do I get God the Holy Spirit in my life? The only way is Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you have to come to Christ, if you have come to Christ, you will know what it's like to go to the cross, confess your sins, accept him as your Lord and Savior, and he then stamps his approval of you by putting God the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's the only way you can get God the Holy Spirit in your life. The real direction, the real honest way of doing things God's way, not my way, is getting God the Holy Spirit in my life. And the only way I can get that is through God the Son and my surrender of my life to him as Lord and Savior. And I trust this is the situation of each one of you tonight. When does one actually get the indwelling of God the Spirit? The minute you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, he puts his stamp of approval and indwells you with his own Spirit. It's the minute of salvation. You don't have to wait for it to come to you. You don't have to, and we're going to talk about some of the wrong doctrine around God the Holy Spirit and when he indwells the believer. But my Bible said, as I've read you the scripture, is that he indwells you the minute you accept Christ as Lord and Savior. And we want to talk about what is the responsibility that I have, or my responsibility to God's Holy Spirit. What is the responsibility of God, of me, towards God the Holy Spirit? I don't want to grieve him. I want to listen to him. I don't want to grieve him. I don't want to disappoint him. I want to be in fine tune with him. The sister here said to me earlier, as soon as you stand up speaking, tell me, because I'm going to change the channel to get this PowerPoint up rather than. So we have to be in tune with the channel where God the Holy Spirit speaks to us. How does God the Holy Spirit speak to us? The primary way he speaks to us is through the Word of God. So I want to stop here and say, how often do you read your Bible? Do you read it like you read the newspaper headlines and forget it 5 minutes later? Or do you really get deep and dig in every word? And it doesn't matter if you read one verse or one chapter a day. It's not a marathon. It's what you get out of it. And if God is speaking to you through the scriptures, because that's the way he primarily speaks. Yes, he speaks through circumstances and through nature and through all sorts of things, other ways. He's sovereign. He can talk to you in any way he wants. But primarily, now that we have the full canon of scripture, he's given us his word. And that is what we have to focus on. Sisters, the only way you're going to get to know God the Holy Spirit, the only way you're going to know his ways and his directives is through digging into the scriptures. I want to challenge you tonight. How can I resort to something that's not in my memory bank? Sometimes I try to get something on my computer and it says, not known, not present. Sometimes I get confused between one conference and the other, and I'm trying to find something that I said in one of the conferences, and unless I put the exact words, I won't find it in my dumb computer. How about me? I'm dumber than the dumb. If I don't know my scripture, I cannot access it. What we need to know, sisters, is, oh, well, the excuse, oh, I'm third generation assemblies and I know. Oh, well, we don't preach, so we don't need to know the word. Leave that to the men. No. You have a responsibility. If you really want to be a good instructor of your family, of your own life, and of the people around you, and serve the Lord better, the best way to do it is to know your scripture. And even if you don't share it, which you will, I'm sure, share it with others, even if you don't share it with groups or whatever, it doesn't matter. It will flow out of your mouth. Every time I talked to somebody the other day, and she said, you know, every time I talk to you, you quote me scripture. I said, that's the only source I know. Because my words... excuse me. My words will entertain you, but you'll forget them 5 minutes later. But my God's Holy Spirit inspired words are piercing like a two-edged sword, and they will never return to him void. Even if you get stuck with something and you find the verse, it'll console you first. And you'll be able to help others along the way. And you'll be able to get the strength that you need. It is very important that we really know that the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the only way to do it is to know the Word of God. And what does the inner man mean? And be influenced by God's Spirit. What do we really mean by that? Colossians 1, verse 9 to 11 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." You see, here in verse 11, three things: strengthened with all might or power, according to the God's glorious power, which is dominion, and the result, in order to achieve all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Are you lacking patience? Are you lacking long-suffering? Are you lacking joyfulness? Well, that's the recipe. That's what my Bible says. Things necessary to and preceding being strengthened is to be filled with the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is to know his word. And the Spirit will reveal to you things. When you read the Word of God and you're going through a difficult time of some sort, sometimes a verse will come up and just flash at you, talk to you. That's the primary way God speaks to us through the Spirit, is through his Word, increasing in the knowledge of God, his will, strengthened, giving thanks to the Father. What a wonderful opportunity we have. The inner man, us, inside us. And you know what? My inner man or my heart sometimes can be very rough, tough, in difficult times. It's the intellect. It's the source of thinking. What I imagine, what I meditate on, what I trust, what I remember, how I reason and know and understand things. And I have references for each one of those words. The will, the volition, as they call it, the purpose, the determination, the intent, and when taught, can motivate one to obey. How do I get that? God, the Holy Spirit. The emotions, fear, love, despise, rejoice, grieve, suffer anguish, be comforted, all those can be set by my, this is the heart of man, and these are the ones that are strengthened inside. The conscience. Sometimes your conscience pricks you about something. That's God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to you. You see, we sometimes are not fine-tuned to God, the Holy Spirit. Where is your heart tonight? Is it in tune? First of all, do you possess God, the Holy Spirit? And second, are you in tune with Him through the knowledge and the reading of God's Word? Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we bow to give you thanks for your Word that encourages us, that helps us understand that you have indwelt us with your Spirit. We thank you for the promises that we have in Scripture, that we are called the sons of God and sealed by the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that the Spirit not only seals us for eternity, but helps us along the way, helps us every day in our daily lives, and goes with us wherever we go. Lord, may our hearts be in tune with the still voice inside us to teach us, to instruct us, to lead us, to help us understand what your will is for us, how to go on daily chores and daily responsibilities in a way that honors and glorifies you and you alone. Help us, Lord, to be selfless and to be conscious that God, the Holy Spirit, wants to glorify you in us, wants to transform us to your dear Son's image. Help us, Lord, that we may not grieve God, the Holy Spirit, that we would love you more through his instruction, that we may be in tune with him more by reading your Scripture. Help us, Lord, that we would be motivated to do that. Give us the determination to do that, that we would bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.